Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dolson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Christopher. And it's just good, Chris, because you have been away, that you've come back all in one piece. You did a bit of skiing, I believe.
Yeah, I went away with the trash taste, lads. I was invited into the inner sanctum of trash taste and went to Niseko, which is like this really beautiful ski resort in Hokkaido. It's usually populated by just all of Australia. Yeah. But because of COVID, obviously no one's there. And it was kind of, it was beautiful, but it was kind of sad that the whole place is a little bit empty, but very luxurious, beautiful place. It kind of felt like going into France or Europe somewhere. And it was really nice, much needed. We were there about 4 or 5 days, and I got some skiing in and felt just relaxed for a small... It only takes like 2 to 3 days to revitalize oneself, I feel. I don't need a big two-week holiday, just need the right place, the right people, and the right amount of alcohol, which is a lot of alcohol. And I'm good
schnapps.
To go.
Did you have like off-piste schnapps? That's kind of what anybody talks about when it comes to skiing holidays. It's all about the après-ski. It's all about the schnapps. It's all about the food.
Have you ever skied before? Or is this your romanticised?
No. I think I've said it before. I had one bit of skiing when I was about, I must have been about 11 or 12, and I couldn't go to the dry ski slope in Sunderland because I had my grade 1 violin to do, so...
The dry ski slope. I remember I used to always drive past one in London, and it's just it just looks so dire, doesn't it? But I guess we don't have much choice in the UK. It's either a dry ski slope in Sunderland or a very expensive holiday. I once dated a girl who was like quite a wealthy family, and they always went skiing. And I remember I could never afford to go, and I always felt a bit rubbish. They were like, "Let's go skiing, come on, Chris," and I was like, "I can't afford it. I'm from a poor family. I can't afford to spend £2,000. Exactly. And I always felt a little bit like shit about it. And now I'm an adult and I can
hang out
use
with some
my credit
ruffians
card
on the side of the slot.
Exactly.
The trash days
exactly.
Boys.
It's good fun.
Did Sea Dog Veer's deep voice not cause some kind of snow drift? Not snow drift, what they call it? Avalanche.
Avalanche.
Oh, Chris, pass me that bottle of schnapps. Oh, no.
It is the sort of thing that would happen. It is the sort of thing Con would do. I've just spent all day prepping a video that's coming out later today. We did the Wanksorba noodle challenge. You've got to be careful how you say it. Wankor.
No, you don't. Not on here. Say what you want.
Wankosoba. It feels like it's one of those dishes that you can't really say as a British person without getting demonetized.
Well,
on YouTube.
Well, you see like in American TV shows where they do an impression of a British person. Like they use quite strong language that you wouldn't get away with using on television. Like there was a Newcastle Brown American advert. Cause they do drink it across America, Newcastle Brown ale, weirdly, which I always found very amusing. In a slightly smaller bottle, but they still drink Newcastle Brown. And they went, "Newcastle Brown, it's not bollocks, it's the dog's bollocks or whatever." And it's like, Jesus, like, you cannot say bollocks on the telly. And you can't say, and they say you wanker. I think The Simpsons might have said wanker. And I was like, geez, that's a strong word.
Yeah, they, I think they always do, when they'd make fun of, like, British accents, they always did, like, this really, like, roughed up London Victorian accent. Oh, what? You wanker? Like, you got to be careful. I didn't want to get the video, like, demonetized. It doesn't take much to screw a video on YouTube. So I was like,
wank yourself.
Wank sober. Wank sober.
Wank myself.
Wank myself sober. But, like,
that, oh, look, no. That's, look, that's the thing. If you're thinking about having a drink, just have one of them. Just have a Tommy
tea. Dear, oh, dear. I won't spoil who won the competition or what went down, but I basically dangled a carrot of opportunity before Connor. I got into a five-star hotel. Every now and then, as a YouTuber, influencer person, you get offered things that are good. And I got offered to go into a five-star hotel in Tokyo and sort of review a room in a video. It wasn't a paid sponsorship. They didn't give me any money. But, you know, they let me into a $12,000 a night hotel room that nobody could possibly ever afford except some very wealthy entrepreneurs from Silicon Valley. So I went in there. But I said to Connor, you've got to eat 100 bowls and I'll let you in the room. You'll come with me on this trip. We'll make a video.
I've got two toilets.
I think there was three toilets. There was loads of, there was toilets for everyone, Pete. It was mental.
Okay, good.
But
fun.
It was, is it a telescope? A periscope? No, a telescope. It was a telescope in there. Yeah, it was
I mean,
great.
I presume it was quite high up anyway. You don't need a periscope to get even higher. Didn't we have this argument between periscopes and telescopes?
Yeah, we're not going down that road again. Never talking about periscopes and telescopes. But there was also, there's like five sofas in there. It was ridiculous. Mm. But I sort of dangled this carrot to Connor. I said, if you get 100 bowls, eat 100 bowls, you come with me to this room and actually stay the night. And if he failed, I was going to take Joey, the anime man. And I found that to be a very powerful motivator in getting Connor to eat noodles. I won't spoil what happens, but go and check it out on Abroad in Japan. It should be out now. Witness what? Connor and myself die.
With the noodle challenge, like, are you allowed to bring your own Nutribullet and just grind it all up and drink it like a big wheaty smoothie?
What, like an indigestion tablet?
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, I think whenever I do a food challenge, I have a small packet of indigestion pills in my pocket.
Pepto-Bismol. Right, yeah. Okay.
Especially that bloody gyoza one, the massive monster gyoza I did with Natsuki. I think I must have eaten like a lot of tons
flowery.
That day.
Not ideal.
Bloody food challenges. Never again. That is the last time I'm doing the Wank Sober Noodle Challenge. I've done it three times never again. But you should do it. We'll make you do it when you come over.
King Bot Noodles.
God. Oh, God. We've got a story here from Hess from Calgary in Canada this week. And it begins, hello, Chris and Pete. Sorry, no funny greetings. I'm not creative. Oh, no. Again, you stole these wacky, weird titles for Pete and I. It's minus 27 degrees Celsius here in Calgary. Bloody hell. And here's me. I was complaining it was like minus 14 when I was skiing. And that was cold enough, minus 27. At one point, I took my goggles off while I was skiing, and my eyes just froze. My eyelashes froze on the ski. So I don't know what minus 27 can do. It's minus 27 degrees Celsius here in Calgary, and I'm keeping my spirit warm by listening to your podcast and having a few chuckles. So thanks for that. Your viewers' stories reminds me of my encounters in Japan that are a bit of a head scratch now and then, to be honest. Perhaps the one that stands out the most is of a train ride from Osaka to Kyoto at the start of Golden Week in 2018. It was beginning to get hot, and my husband and I decided it was the perfect time to visit Kyoto. So we hopped on the local train one fine morning from Osaka and quickly found some seats. We quickly realised our error when we found that, number one, the trains didn't have any air conditioning and it was extremely hot. And number two, this train was crowded as it was one of the locals used to travel between the two cities. Two stops down, an older Japanese gentleman got on and after looking around realised that there were no seats available. My husband stood up and offered his seat, which the gentleman reluctantly but gratefully accepted. Two stops in, I sensed my husband staring at my seatmate, who was growing increasingly uncomfortable. I glance over to see why and see that the old guy is sweating profusely, but that it was not normal sweat. He had this thick black sweat running off the side of his head. Colour me confused for a minute with flashes of, oh my God, I'm sitting next to a nightmare scenario in a horror anime, when I finally understood. The old guy has black shoe polish on his comb over, to disguise his baldness. And in the sweltering heat of the train, shoe polish was melting off his head in black rivulets. I was now caught between trying not to laugh at this sight and secondhand embarrassment for the poor guy and his sad attempt to hide his baldness. It didn't help matters that my 6'4", proudly bald husband was openly staring at the rapidly deteriorating dye job in fascination and probably making the old guy sweat even more. In an effort to restore equilibrium, I made us get off at the next stop to wait for the next train, to the old dude's significant relief. As the train pulled away, I saw the woman who had taken my seat look over, do a double take, and then stand up. It was too much for me, and I ended up hysterically laughing on the train platform for the next 5 minutes. We had a great time in Kyoto, but that is the memory that stays with me. Have a great new year, guys, and I'm positive 2022 will be an awesome year for everyone. Cheers, Hess from Calgary. And the greatest memory of Kyoto. It wasn't the Inari Shrine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the Golden Pavilion. It was a man with shoe polish all over his head. Oh, dear.
I presume that Hess and partner are younger than about 30, because I seem to remember a lot of like the mid-80s, men would disguise their, either darken their beards or their hair with pretty poor, pretty, like, if you do a fresh dye job, I mean, like, back in the day when I used to bleach my hair and put red Pillarbox red colouring in it when I thought I was literally Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, rest in peace. It would just come out, and like a bit of sweat, it would just start to sort of come down your face. It was just pretty, like, it was pretty weak stuff, unfortunately. It wouldn't cling to hair very well. So even the best dyes would come out if there was a down poor. So it didn't necessarily need to be black shoe polish, but I remember my dad's brother apparently in the 70s used to, as he told me, used to use black boot polish in his hair to try and make it look a little bit thicker. It's an astonishing look if you ever catch someone doing it. It's very strange indeed. But look, it's not very grown-up stuff, Hess. Bow your head. So...
I mean, clearly that old man needed Natsuki's services, because that is what Natsuki specialises in at his beauty salon. He dyes hair very, very well.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Pay a pretty penny for that as well. It's like $200, $300 to have your hair dyed.
Yeah, that's the expensive bit. My partner goes to this woman around the corner and she does it in a loft, and that's just the colour. And then they go and get it cut somewhere else. God.
Big money to be had, Pete.
Big money.
If the podcast game doesn't work out for us, we can at least... join forces with Natsuki to create an incredible hair dye brand. But I do feel sorry for that old man. But that is to be expected, because that part of Japan in summer is formidable. Like, the temperatures down there are a joke. It's like an oven compared to North Japan down there. We've got a story this week that's not an overly fun one. I'll let you lead into it, Pete. You're the newsman now. I'm giving you a news job.
Yeah,
good
I'm the newsman, but I mean, it's kind of something we've been talking about for about 2 years now. Japan have further extended an entry ban for Japan until the end of February. Now, this is something that they've had in place for a very, very long time, but the Japanese government have further extended the entry ban on non-resident foreigners until the end of February. The ban has been in place since November the 30th, after the country confirmed its first case of the transmissible Omicron variant of the coronavirus. Now, we could talk about the pros and cons of all of this, and we've certainly seen that Japan's COVID exposure has been very limited thanks to the very restricted the stuff they put in place. But fundamentally, they seem to have this idea of Japanese exceptionalism that imagines that people who are Japanese, who were born in Japan, are somehow less likely to bring the coronavirus across the border. It's a weird situation. And Chris, would it be fair to say that the elections that are happening in like June, I think, nothing's really going to change until that kind of changes over?
Yeah, I watched a video by PewDiePie the other day. I don't really watch PewDiePie's videos. You know, it's not really my sort of thing. Seems like a good guy, though. But I watched one of his videos where he talked about it, because he was coming to move to Japan, right?
Yeah.
And he was sort of ranting about how, you know, he wasn't allowed in for 2 years. He'd been trying to get in. He's got a visa. He's got a business. He's got a house. He's been paying for everything. and he just cannot get here. If Peter Parker can't get here, we're all doomed. But, you know, and I left a comment. I sort of said, you know, it's all down to politics, really. You know, it's been hugely popular closing the country off during this new strain because the vast majority of the country aren't affected by it, right? And so it looks good politically, and that's all it comes down to, really. But, you know, I don't think this is a surprise, but the only reason we brought it up is because I know a lot of you guys listening are students who are coming to Japan, people looking to come here to travel, and it is worth mentioning. But, yeah, nothing really new there that we don't already know. Hopefully Japan will reopen sometime around the middle of 2022. God forbid, because make it end. I want to travel. I want fun things to happen again.
There's a like retro like games YouTuber, and I think she got a role for a Japanese-based video game developer, Chuhai Labs, Kinsey Burke. I'm sure a lot of you will know who she is. But yeah, she's been waiting for the best part of 2 years to get in to start her job. And you know, it's every couple of months. Obviously, as everyone is affected, they're just sort of like, when's it going to end? Like, why am I? People have put their lives on hold for 2 years, and there's literally no reason why you couldn't sit in confinement for a couple of weeks, and knowing full well that you wouldn't have COVID and you wouldn't have brought COVID into the country. It's just racist. It's just fucking racist, and it's popular because it's populist politics will always win out against fucking cool heads and sensible business minds. So yeah, I think
the sad thing for me is, you know, I've tried to defend it a lot. And I think, you know, it's irrevocably damaged a lot of people's opinions, and a lot of people that were going to come here, move to Japan, just simply aren't now. Even, I remember at the end of PewDiePie's video, he sort of said, maybe I'll just sort of give up that dream. And that's something that a lot of people I've spoken to and a lot of people have messaged me have been sort of saying, that people that have been holding on to these dreams of living here, studying, trying to, you know, contribute to Japan, are now just going to look elsewhere. And I think that's a real shame. And Japan needs to do a better job of globalizing and mixing with the world so it can keep up on the business front against competitors in sort of South Korea, China, Taiwan. But I don't know. Hopefully it'll be good. One day it'll open. But yeah, we'll keep you guys informed as always, as we have been the last 2 years. It's almost the 2 year anniversary of the last time I touched Pete Donaldson. So,
God, text in.
It must be the first week of February now. Yeah. 2 years ago. It was a simpler time. A better time. We'll be back with your comments, stories and questions in just a moment from the fax machine, guys.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Arnaud. Dear Chris and Pete, I'm cabin crew and stuck once again in a hotel in Osaka doing quarantine. Will this horror ever end? We have seen you do some extreme challenges in Japan, like cycling across Japan or flying over volcanoes, but it was all to hide the real number one challenge: climbing Japan's longest flight of steps in Misato Kumamoto Prefecture. It's 3,333 steps to the top, and apparently it only has two options. Either you make it to the top or you die trying. When can we expect a video featuring you, Natsuki, and Joy, or Ryotaro, if you want to try and kill him for a change? Sincerely, Arnaud in the Netherlands, / in a hotel in Osaka.
3,333 steps. I don't think I want to do that. Hang on, did he say, where'd the steps lead again, did he say? Just to the top of a volcano?
I don't know. Maybe it's just a... No. No, I don't think so. No, I think it's just a big, long load of steps, yeah. I mean, would it be fair to say that you would not be up for that kind of caper?
I mean, it's the 10-year anniversary of a Born in Japan this year, so I want to do some epic stuff. I'm thinking of climbing Mount Fuji again, this time with Natsuki. I really do want to do that. They say a wise man climbs Mount Fuji once, a fool climbs it twice. I don't want to be branded a fool, but I do want to see Natsuki at the top of Mount Fuji. I would pay good money. I hope he would get up there. I know his health is... He's not very good at exercise. Well, he's not very good at exercise. He came on Journey Across Japan for the first, like, 1 hour of Journey Across Japan. I did 46 days on a bicycle. Natsuki did 46 minutes. And then he was like, oh, my backside hurts. I can't sit on a fucking bicycle ever again. And that was it. So I don't know how he would fare climbing up Fuji.
Could he not take a hotel pillow and just kind of strap it to the seat?
It would make cycling incredibly difficult.
I guess, But I'm just reading it. About these Shakain Misaka Yohodo Promenade. It's stone steps, all made of stones from 10 different locations, and granite from 7 different countries. So they've imported all this mad granite from different places in the world. And it says, there's 3,333 steps. It leads to the Shakain. There's an event called Attack the Japan's Number One held in November as well. So presumably just people run up and down. What I like about the official Kumamoto tourism guide, the map that they're showing the stairs, it's basically a blank map. There's just like winding kind of like roads and motorways and stuff. But the only thing that's kind of listed on the map is a restaurant called Sausage Fest. It just says Sausage Fest restaurant, and it's right next to the stairs, and that's the only, it looks like the only food option in the area. It is LGBTQ plus friendly, according to the Google reviews, which is nice. Sausage Fest.
Put that on the top of your destination list when you come to Japan.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic. I got one here from Johnny from Mexico, who says, hope you had a very broad-tastic New Year, Chris and Pete. My question is, do you have any New Year's resolutions that you plan on keeping or breaking? All the best, Johnny from Mexico. We usually talk about New Year's resolutions for like 500 episodes. We talk about it so much at the start of every year, completely neglected at this time, because every time it doesn't happen and it never comes true. Anything I've ever said, or I think you've said. What's your resolution then, Pete? Come on.
I'm asking you, Chris. Have you kept up the gym? Because last time I saw you, you were pumping iron and stuff.
Look at this. I hold here before me a calendar. And all those red crosses are the days that I went to the gym. And I actually, just before doing this podcast, in the last hour, I've just got back from doing the gym. Yeah, endorphins.
Well, I can see on the 29th of January saying, going to kill Ryotaro? Oh, no, you're planning to kill Ryotaro on the 29th of January. Watch out, mate. Oh, unbelievable. Never mind.
That's my resolution, kill Ryotaro. No, I don't really have a resolution this year. Just make it the best year ever. A nice, make your resolutions nice vague. You can shift the parameters of your own success and make your year look successful no matter what you've done when it's vague.
Maybe you could start a profitable and highly illegal import-export people smuggling business, getting people into
Carlos
Japan.
Carlos Ghosn.
Yes, in music boxes, big music boxes.
Do a reverse Ghosn. God. Got one here from Chelsea, the socially awkward Canadian. We got a lot of messages from Canada this week.
Yeah. It's so cold there. They've got nothing better to do than to watch Run Japan
degrees.
Videos and listen to the podcast. Hello, Chris and Pete. After being in London for several years and now having just moved to Sendai, made it in just before Omicron buggered us all again, I feel as though I'm living the Abroad Japan podcast. All that's left now is Hartlepool. Don't do it yourself. My question is for both of you. Since coming to Japan, I've been blown away by the hospitality, generosity and kindness of everyone here. Never in my life have I been treated like this, and it has me very confused. Is there a way to tell the difference between a Japanese person being nice to you or out of a sense of duty or obligation versus when they actually like you and enjoy your company? Kind regards, Chelsea, the socially awkward Canadian. And what are the cues? What's the real way to find out whether a Japanese person is into you or not?
That's a good question. I think it depends on what you're doing, right? Like when you start a new job, if someone talks to you, it's social. Like if one of your employees does something for you, that's usually a social obligation or a work obligation, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if a neighbor comes and says hello, that might be a social obligation. It can be tough sometimes to make real friends and work out where the line is between someone that genuinely wants to be a mate and someone that just feels like a sense of duty or obligation. But it usually revolves around the workplace. I didn't really make that many good friends in the workplace. They made it sort of, they were nice and they did a lot of stuff for me, but it never felt like I was going to actually go past any sort of line and be actual real friends with them. I guess that's it really. But it's a good point. You know, you never know. It can be difficult to work out what someone's actually thinking here with the whole hone tatemai approach to things. Sort of the hone is like hone is what's actually going on in your head, and tatemai, which is the public stance. So I don't know, really. Any thoughts on that, Pete? What's your wisdom?
I find it hard to know whether British English speakers like me or not. So I don't think I'd have a blooming clue if people were being disingenuous halfway around the world.
Well, I mean, we do it in the UK, don't we? We always, you know, you'll meet someone and you'll be like, oh, mate, we'll have to go out for a drink. And they're like, yeah, man, we'll have to go out for a drink. And then you don't. 9 times out of 10, that never happens.
I massively called Chris's bluff on that. And now we're friends.
You actually did, didn't you? It's a really good example of that. When I met you and we did the Absolute Radio thing, I said to Pete, oh, yeah, if you ever come to Japan, message me or something. And Pete was like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then three months later, got a message. I've not been able to escape since. So be careful who you offer your hand to. Be careful who you invite to things, because otherwise it could end up with a hit podcast. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later this week to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, we'll see you later in the week, and keep on having a great start to 2022.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.